I will be reading from Matthew chapter 28, verses 1 through 8, and then Romans 15 and 13. This may not be your typical Easter message. It does have Easter themes completely, but this is what God has laid on my heart for this morning. Matthew 28, 1 through 8 says, "Now after the Sabbath, as the first day of the week began to dawn, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary came to see the tomb." I don't know why, but I love that part of the scripture. For some reason, the other Mary. I have read that over and over and over. Just the other Mary. It just gets me excited. You know, it wasn't just the one. And if you look at history, which I did, because I even Google is your friend. Every once in a while, not all the time, but this time it was like they even told me through history, they were like, there were actually three Marys, and then it named the Marys, and you could find out all of those. But Mary Magdalene and the other Mary came to see the tomb, and behold, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat on it. His countenance was like lightning, and his clothing as white as snow, and the guard shook for fear of him and became like dead men. But the angel answered and said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen. He said, 'Come see the place where the Lord lay, and go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And indeed, he is going before you into Galilee. There you will see him. Behold, I have told you.'" Verse 8, "So they went out quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy, and ran to bring his disciples word." They ran with fear and great joy to bring his disciples word. Romans 15 and 13 says, "Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit." For the next few moments, I would simply like to title this, Joy. Joy. We have lived for long enough in a world that is consumed with pessimism and fear. I believe that God wants to give us this morning a resurrection of joy, a resurrection of his peace, a resurrection of his strength. So if you would you just lift your hands and hearts and just ask him, "God, we come before you knowing that you are mindful of each and every one that is here, mindful of each and every need that is in the house, mindful of everything that is going on in our world. And God, we're asking that you would manifest your presence and let us have an encounter with the joy of the Lord that is our strength. God, we give you praise and glory and honor. All in your name we pray." And those of you that are going to help me preach, if you'll just say, "Amen." You may be seated. All right. I got all of that on record that you're going to help me. And if you don't, pastor's watching. I'm just kidding. There you go. See, Brother Bill's making sure. Have you ever wondered to yourself about the history of the Easter egg? I have. I kind of wondered where that it came from and where that it all started. Have you ever, this was the word that I found and I liked it. Have you ever mused about what's really behind the present day tradition of giving chocolate eggs as gifts on Easter? Now, this is not a chocolate egg. It's a plastic egg, but there's a gift of candy on the inside. And I borrowed it from one of the bags that we have for the children in the back. It will go back in there. So if your child is missing an egg, it's because I have it. I will put that back into the... My mom even said, "What are you going to do with it?" I said, "I'm going to use it while I'm preaching. I'll put it back." She was making sure. But have you ever just wondered, you know, where the Easter egg came from? And I looked it up and I found that the modern... today's Easter egg came. The first chocolate egg was made by J.S. Fry and Sons Limited in 1873. 2 years later, I don't think that one's still around, hopefully not. But 2 years later in 1875, the Cadbury's, ever had a Cadbury egg? There's something wrong with those. They're just not right. I am not a fan of the Cadbury egg, but they first came around and on the scene in 1875. So for nearly 150 years, we have had the chocolate egg, chocolatey goodness that I personally am a fan of, the Reese's egg. It's sort of an egg. It's the shape of an egg a little bit, but it's chocolate covering peanut butter. I had too many of those over this week because Kim came in and just said, hey, I got you some Reese's eggs. And there were six in the box, and I ate four of those. Not in one sitting, in two. But, you know, you can't just have one of those things. But for 150 years, we've experienced the goodness that is a chocolatey egg. And I found an article in Forbes magazine, and this one kind of blew my mind. And there's a candy company in California, in Los Angeles, called See's Candies. And just over the Easter season, they make 4.5 million chocolate Easter eggs. This year, they will make 4.5 million chocolate Easter eggs. That's a lot of Easter eggs. In the UK alone, they are expected to sell 80 million chocolate eggs this year alone. Chocolate eggs, 80 million. And we wonder, my goodness, what's going on? And we celebrate those. And I remember getting chocolate eggs. And there's always something exciting. And from a Christian standpoint, there is something to the Easter egg. We find that the egg represents the resurrection of Jesus Christ. The hard shell is the tomb that he was in. And then the chick would fight on the inside until finally it was victorious. And it would break through the shell. And that's the battle that Jesus had as he descended into hell and fought and came out victorious. And we celebrate that today. And that's why we have the Easter egg. Have you ever wondered about why they were colored? Why they were dyed? Well, that's simple too. The Mesopotamian Christians, they would take and they would dye them red in representation of the blood of Christ. And back then they had, during the Lenten season, they were not allowed to eat eggs. And so for that entire time of fasting and prayer and dedication back to God, they would decorate the eggs and wait for them until Easter. That's a long wait. I don't know. I think I would have to make my egg the night before, because back then, when this is talking about in the 1800s, they didn't have a refrigerator. And I don't know about you. Have you ever opened an egg that had been around for a little bit too long? It is not a smell or something that you want to eat a little bit later. But they would paint the egg. I can remember even as a child getting Easter eggs, and we would get all excited because Easter was around, and we would get, and I found it's called Paz, this like the dyeing stuff that you would get, and you would be able to take, and you would dye your Easter eggs after they were boiled. And I was raised right. We were able to take and put, have you ever shrink wrapped an egg? Those of you that are young probably don't know what this is all about. But the fear and the excitement of trying to shrink wrap an egg and getting it to just form just right to the egg. Because, Brother Darren, if you put it down into the boiling water and that egg tilts and then the plastic stays straight, you've got this crease in there, and nobody wants to bring eggs to school that have a messed up shrink wrap around them. Those are the ones that you save at home. I can remember just the excitement of getting ready for church on Easter Sunday morning, and we would get out of bed and there would be an Easter basket that was waiting on us, and it would be filled sort of with candy because half of the basket was filled with this green stuff they call Easter grass. It's called Easter grass. And you cannot clean this stuff up. It's horrible if you're a child and they put in just the little chocolate aluminum foil type wrapped eggs and they go down below the green Easter grass. You can't find those pieces of candy because they're lost at the bottom of this vast green field of Easter grass. I remember as a child taking and dumping all of the Easter grass out, making sure that I didn't miss one of those pieces of candy because it was all important. I can remember all of the excitement that was there. And then Kim was telling me that we have to get some grass for these bags for the kids. And I was like, no, we can't get that. And she was like, no, it's just, it's paper. It's a paper grass. And so I began to look this stuff up, and I was like, do they even make this stuff anymore? And I found this one side, it said vintage Easter grass, and I felt so old. I mean, it was labeled vintage Easter grass. And then we went into Deerberg's yesterday, and I didn't feel so bad because they had it right as you walked in the door. Easter grass. And I would say, all right, it doesn't say vintage. It just says Easter grass. You could get yellow, green, purple, pink, whatever kind of Easter color that you wanted. And I can remember all of these things, but I can also remember coming to the house of God and the electricity that was in the air because we were expecting something to happen whenever we walked into the house of God. We were expecting a move of God. We were expecting a powerful just encounter with Almighty God. I can remember going to Sunday school classes, and we would have Easter egg hunts afterwards, and those that were brave enough, we've even had Easter rains, candy rains. For those of you that do not know what that is, that's when you're on the roof of the church and you're throwing down candy to the children. It's very safe, unless you have some of the young people like I had, and they would throw it not to the children, but at the children. I would have to go and I would have to tell him. I was like, Ryan, stop. And he was like, I can hit him. I know I can. And I'm just like, that's not what this is about. But we were celebrating Easter. We were celebrating the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And we've given away bicycles. We've had all kinds of things. But there was one purpose and there was one reason that we had all of this. And that was simply to celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And that's why we're here this morning. That's why we've gathered together. Because every time that we lift our voice, it's a black eye to the devil. Every time that we clap our hands, it's a black eye to the devil. Every time that we rejoice, every time that we lift our voice, we're letting all of hell know that they've lost, that there is no hope for them. And I don't know about you this morning, but I'm excited about what God is going to do. I'm excited that he's going to move, that he's going to show up, that he's going to manifest himself. And I wish that you would just clap your hands in an ovation of praise. Let it shatter the atmosphere. Let it tear down the prince and the power of the air. Let him know that we have defeated you through the blood of the Lamb and the word of the testimony. We are victorious through Christ. I get excited, not just because we get to dress in fancy clothes, not because we get to wear a little bit brighter color, but I get excited because Easter represents a victory that without the blood of the Lamb, we wouldn't be able to be here today. It represents a chance for all of my sins to be forgiven. It represents a chance for them to be wiped away. It represents a chance for me to have hope and joy and flowing in my life. I'll tell you what Easter represents. It represents your opportunity no matter what your background is. It represents your chance no matter where you've come from, no matter what your name is, no matter what you've done in your past. It represents your chance to have it all washed away and get on level ground with Jesus Christ so that one day you can hear him say, well done, thou good and faithful. I don't know about you, but I get excited because Easter is my chance. Easter is my chance. Easter is my chance. I remember the excitement, and I can tell you that there have been hundreds of thousands of Easter messages that have been sung, hundreds and thousands of specials and dramas. All of these things have one thing in common. We are celebrating the love of Jesus Christ that was shown on Calvary's Hill. I wish that I had the words to describe to you the pain and the agony that he went through, but I do not. I wish that I could describe it and paint a mental picture, but in my spirit this morning, I feel that God is not wanting us to focus so much on that, but focus on what happened afterwards, and focus that after the cross came hope, after the cross came joy, after the cross came peace, after the cross. I really felt in prayer. I was like, God, this isn't what Easter, you know, we want to see the cross and we want to see the pain. We want to hear about the scourging. We want to hear about the crown. And I really felt in my spirit that God was leading me to a place to say, this world has heard enough about pain. They need to know that my joy is available. They need to know that my joy is there. They need to know that my joy is available to them. And all they've got to do is call out. All they've got to do is reach out. And they can experience my joy. There's a song that's nearly 50 years old. It simply says this: because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. Because I know he holds the future. and his life, and life is worth the living just because he lives. Bill Gaither penned these words in 1971, and this is what he said about the song. "Because He Lives" was written in the midst of social upheaval, threats of war, and betrayal of national and personal trust. It was into a world that at such a time that I brought our third little baby. Assassinations, drug trafficking, and war monopolized the headlines. It was in the midst of this kind of uncertainty that the assurance of the lordship of the risen Christ blew across our troubled mind like a cooling breeze in a parched desert. I don't know about you, but those same words could be said about today. We are living in a time to where we are in the midst of social upheaval and change, threats of war, we hear them every day, betrayals on a national and personal level. And many of us have walked in this morning feeling the same way that Mary and the other Mary felt. Where's my joy? They feel the same. They look around and all we see are the headlines. All we see is that the society that we knew is no longer the society that we live in. The society that we knew that we experienced and we were excited about coming and celebrating Jesus Christ is no longer the society that we live in. I read an article yesterday that for the first time in almost 50 years, less than 50% even worried about going to church on Sunday morning at Easter. 43% said it was a priority, but they didn't even know if they would go. We're living in a world that we no longer know, and that's how we've walked into this house this morning. That's what I feel in my spirit, that you've walked in and you've felt like Mary felt. You felt like the both of them felt, and you're making your way to the tomb. Their world was destroyed. Everything they had put their faith in seemed lost because Jesus was dead. All of his followers were scattered. They had all ran for fear of their lives. It was chaos. They didn't know who to trust because one of his own disciples betrayed him for 30 pieces of silver. One of the ones that were handpicked by Jesus. So Mary, you know, I looked that up, and this is just a side note. This is just a fun fact. Looked it up yourself because I found this in multiple sources that Mary, the mother of Jesus, her sister's name was also Mary. Now, that makes it, anybody have like multiple children that whenever they're in trouble, you go through all of their names before you get to the right one? Maybe mom and dad knew what they were doing. Mary, get over here. Which one? Just all of you come over here. It doesn't matter. All of the Marys were there. They walked to the tomb with, it wasn't in our scripture text, but you find it in others, that they walked to the tomb to anoint his body for the burial. They did not expect him to be alive. They did not expect a resurrection. In fact, they were surprised that he was. This morning you've walked into the house, and maybe you've walked into this house or others multiple times, and you've come and you've expected something to happen and nothing happened. You've heard the preacher preach and nothing happened. You've heard the songs sung and nothing happened. And so this morning you've walked in and you've just expected it to be the same way it's always been, that you're just going to go through the motions and you're going to make someone smile because you came. But I'm here to tell you this morning, it doesn't matter what's happened in the past. Jesus has come with one specific purpose, and that is to give you strength. That is to let you know that he loves you. That is to let you know that there is joy unspeakable and it's full of glory. That's to let you know that he has a touch for you. That he has a touch for you. That he cares about your situation. The Marys had been in confusion for 3 days, but for some of us, it's been 2 years. I said it earlier that it's been 2 years since we've been able to join together for an Easter service. We've been able to come together since then, but 2 years since we've had Easter, and some of us have wondered in these last 2 years because of everything that's going on, where is God in this? We've experienced pain. We've experienced loss. We've had depression. We've had all sorts of things come against our mind, and we're sitting here and we've made our way to the tomb and we're expecting it to be like it always is. But I'm here to tell you that there is a presence of an almighty God that is willing to shake this place, that is willing to come down in a mighty way, that is willing to touch you where you are, that is willing to speak to your heart and say, come and see the place where he was laid. But he is not here. He is risen. Let me tell you what happens in his presence. In his presence, things that were once dead, they become resurrected. Things that were given up on, God gives you hope to them again. Things that were once one way, he tells them they can go another way. The sinner is forgiven. The addict is set free. Every sin that can be imagined, God gets rid of. All in his presence. It's all in his presence. It's all in his presence. Politicians on all sides have an agenda. We can't trust the news anymore because they are pushing their agenda. Churches are even adding to this confusion. We can act like they're not, but they are. I've heard them preach messages, and I've heard things that just blew my mind, that just completely confused me, that how can you say you're the church when you're adding to the confusion? Why can't we focus on how much God loves us? Why can't we focus on letting someone know that God cares? He doesn't have an agenda other than to save you from the pits of hell. That's his only agenda this morning. It's not to make you look bad or make you look good. It's to save your soul. It's to save you from the pits of hell. It's to bring you out of darkness into his marvelous light. It says, if all the things we put our trust in are now taken away. We used to be able to trust all of those things, and we're wondering, what can I trust in? What can I trust in? Well, there's a scripture that says some trust in horses and others in chariots. I don't know about you this morning. You can put your trust in this world, but those things are going to fade away. I'm going to put them in a loving God that would come down and die on a cross, but not just stay there and be risen on the third day and come and touch us this morning. That's where my trust is. That's where my hope is. That's where my peace is. That's where my joy is. Some of you can't remember the last time you've even felt joy. Some of you have wondered if you even know what joy feels like anymore. There is no joy in your eyes. There's no joy in your smile. You've learned how to fake it until you make it, so to speak. You haven't felt joy in so long. You felt weak, and you're doing everything you can just to make it through. But I'm here to tell you that you may have come to the tomb empty, but there is a word for you that you're going to leave with joy, and you're going to leave with strength. You can go and tell somebody else, I've got the joy of the Lord on the inside of me. I've got the joy, joy, joy. You ask me why I get excited, because I've got the joy. You ask me why I do what I do, because I found the joy. I found that the joy of the Lord is my strength. That's why I may have come one way this morning, but I'm leaving with a dance in my step. I'm leaving with an excitement in my heart. Why? Because I've got a word from the Lord that I can leave out of here with joy. I can leave out of here with joy. I can leave out of here with fullness of joy. Sorry, I don't usually take that off. And those of you that do not know me, I give everything that I have to this, because he gave everything that he has to me. There's nothing that I could do that would be good enough for him. I'm just here giving you everything that I've got because I felt it. I was standing about right there on a Friday night, and I was standing there praying, and I felt it. God speak to me. I felt it in my spirit that he was letting me know that there are those that have given up on joy. There are those that have given up on joy. They don't think there's joy in this life anymore, and they're wondering if life is even worth living. But he's here to tell you this morning,
morning that he's going to restore the joy of your salvation. He's going to restore the joy of your life. He's going to restore the joy of your marriage. He's going to restore the joy in your home. He's going to put joy back in your children. He's going to put joy back on your job. He's going to put joy back in your life. He's going to put joy back in your heart. I don't know about you this morning, but I want the joy. I want the joy. I want the joy. The devil's a liar and the father of all lies. I will have joy. The joy, it's mine. The joy, it's mine. I claim it in the name of Jesus. I'm telling you that joy is yours. You don't have to worry. You don't have to wonder. You're not in this alone, but the joy of the Lord is your strength. With joy, you're going to draw from the wells of salvation. You've got to get the joy. And God's saying, I'm going to give you buckets of joy. I'm going to give you barrels of joy. I'm going to let you feel the joy of the Lord. Joy, 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 joy. I love that they left with fear and joy. You can have a little bit of both every once in a while. They were like, oh, I just had an encounter with God. I just had an encounter with an angel, and Jesus is not there. That's one thing that's got some fear, but I can't wait to get and tell the boys that Jesus is alive. I can't wait to let them know Jesus is alive. I'm telling you this morning, you can come in contact with a God, and you may not know what to do, but before you leave, you'll be ready to tell somebody. I've got to let you know that Jesus is alive. He's alive, he's alive, he's alive. There's a shaking in the atmosphere as there was at the tomb. This morning, I'm telling you what I feel is there is a shaking. And if you're willing to keep on running towards the tomb, if you're willing to keep on coming, that there is going to be an atmospheric change, and you're going to begin to see the light like you've never seen it before. You're going to be able to see the hope like you've never seen it before. But not only see, you're going to be able to experience the joy. So I pray like the Apostle Paul prayed. Now that may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. I pray this morning that before you walk out of here, that you not only feel his spirit, but you abound in the joy of the Lord. I pray that you not only feel the conviction that draws you to him, but you walk out abounding in the joy of the Lord. I pray joy into your home. I pray joy into your car. I pray joy into your business. I pray joy into your children. I pray joy into your family. I pray joy into your schools. I pray joy. Joy unspeakable and full of glory. There's something about it when I begin to think about the joy of the Lord that I can't help but get excited. I can't help but just want to just dance a little bit. I don't have it all down pat yet. I still have days that I struggle. I still have days that I fight, but I still know that the joy of the Lord is with me. I still know that the joy of the Lord has gone before me. I still know that the joy of the Lord is walking with me, and I also know that it's behind me, because there's nowhere I can go that he's not with me, that he's not been, and that he's not already there. There's nowhere I can go that I'm not in Jesus Christ. And if he is the source of my joy, there's nowhere that I walk that I'm not in joy. There's nowhere that I go. I did not go to Walmart on purpose this weekend. I drove by, and that parking lot was from the doors to the street. And I said, I'll go some other time. And I drove by some other time later, and it was still from the doors. And I said, I will go some other time. But had I went into Walmart and put my mask on and walk around in there, I still would have been walking in joy. Yeah. Yeah. I still would have been walking, Brother Pennington, in joy. I may not have had joy all around me because of the people.
I was in there and I had my mask on, and this dude looked at me and he said, "What you wearing a mask for? You one of the sheeple?" And that's people and sheep all together, if you've never heard that term. And I just smiled and I just, you know, got my cookies and went and got my milk and went home. Because that's what I do. But even in, I was bringing joy home with me and Oreos and whole milk. But I'm walking in joy. I'm walking in joy. Whenever you go to that family member and everything's not okay, you know what you're doing? You're walking in joy because he's already there. You know, you're going on that job that you may not like, and it may not be what you've asked God for, and it may not be what you've been looking for. What are you doing? You're walking in joy because he's already there. There's no place that you can go that he's not already there. There's no place that you can go that he's not already been, that he's not already made the crooked places straight. He's going before us. And that's why I say this morning, if you want to walk in joy, get in Jesus. If you want to walk in joy, get a hold of the Savior that has risen. Get a hold of the one that can do no wrong. Get a hold of the one that has never lost a battle. Get a hold of the one that has never lost and never will. But Brother Greg, I've been bad. Well, newsflash, we all have. Not just you. I mean, we were all born in sin and shaped in iniquity. Oh, I know, Brother Grave, I've heard that scripture, but I've been really bad. Well, David is a fella that I like, because David gives me hope. Not just because he fought a giant, not just because he killed a bear and a lion with his bare hands, but because David was a bad boy. David went to his window and saw Bathsheba, lusted after her, called her to his palace. She became pregnant, and then he sent her husband to the front line to die. So not only was he a murderer, he destroyed a marriage. Pretty bad. But yet I find David writing in Psalm, "Behold, I was shapen in iniquity." Oh, hey, look, there's that scripture I was just talking about. "And in sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part thou shalt make me to know wisdom. Purge me, God, with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Hide thy face from my sins and blot out all mine iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me. Restore unto me." That lets me know that he's felt the joy before. "Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation." It's not mine anyway. It's not mine anyway. He said, "Restore the joy of thy salvation and uphold me with thy free spirit." This morning, we are celebrating Resurrection Sunday. It is Easter. But God wants to give you joy. No matter where you've been, no matter how bad you feel or how bad you don't feel, there are people under the sound of my voice that have went through this for years because of hurt and pain and confusion, that you don't understand everything that's went on and you can't find joy. God wants to touch you right where you are. He wants to let you feel his joy and let you know that he has strength for you. He wants you to feel his joy and let you know that he cares about you. There are those of us in this last year that we have faced pain and loss and confusion and hurt, and we don't understand why God did what he did or allowed this to happen, when all it really comes down to is God knows all and we just have to trust him. But even in the middle of that, we can feel his joy again. And
And then if you have never felt his joy, it's really easy as they come to the music. If we would all stand. If you have never felt his joy, it's very simple. You don't have to have the words like David did. I don't have those words. But it's simple. You ask him to forgive you. You ask him to forgive you. What does that mean? That means I'm going to make every effort to be different than I was when I came in. If you will forgive me, repentance is making every effort to turn around and go another way. He will forgive you. You will feel the heaviness that you didn't even realize you were carrying fall off of you. And you will encounter the tomb empty-handed. They came expecting to just see the body. But they left with joy. This morning you have come with your expectation of just seeing someone or being a part of a service, smiling, looking good. But you can leave out of here. All of those things happened, but you can leave out of here knowing that you have encountered the joy of the Lord in your life. The song says, you haven't seen me until you've seen me filled with joy. You haven't seen me. This morning, he wants to fill you with joy. He wants to fill you with joy. If you would, every head bowed and every eye closed. Is there anyone that will just admit by the lifting of your hand that say, hey, I could use a little more joy? You could be the happiest person in the world, and I still think you could use a little more joy, but maybe this will help those that they're embarrassed to say that I've lost the joy. It's been so long since I felt it that I don't even remember what it really felt like to have joy. See, the Marys only had 3 days. For you, maybe it's been 3 days, 3 months, 3 years. An entire lifetime, it feels that you haven't felt the joy. This morning, in the presence of Jehovah, in the presence of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, in the presence of an almighty God that loves you, you can have the joy. If you would, we have room around the front if you would like. Would you just come and stand and ask him to give you the joy? God, let me experience the joy. Let me encounter the joy. Would you let me feel your joy? Would you let me? It's more than just a chocolate egg. It's more than just an Easter egg hunt. It's more than a basket. It's more than some nice clothes. I need the joy. I need the joy. I need the joy. I need the joy. I'm not afraid to admit it. I need the joy this morning. Come on. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. I need the joy. Would you find yourself a place to pray? Would you find yourself a place to pray? Come on. Come on. Those of you, saints of God, if you would, just step out into the aisle. Find yourself a place to pray. God, we give you praise and glory and honor.
Monster.